We're back. We did it. Pizza and wine and shenanigans. Oh my God. So exciting. Folks, welcome once again to the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium in picturesque Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is in the building with our 28th episode.
Nice.
Wow. Yay.
20. Chock full of goodness, but of course, first off, more, we've suffered another celebrity death. One completely unexpected. Nelson Ellis, most notably Lafayette, a really, really great character from True Blood. He had a lot of other roles in a lot of other movies. The Help. He actually had a...
he was in The Help.
He was there. He had a quick spot in that.
Get on the Bus.
Yes, and he wasn't Get on the Bus. Mm-hmm. Great guy. It's 39.
Heart failure? What is it?
Yeah,
heart failure?
Well, he... apparently, his mother insisted on letting everybody know that he died because he was addicted to both drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
And he'd been fighting it for years, and I believe he was trying to... He had been in and out of rehab, and on this last go-around, he tried to, I guess, do it himself.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up in the hospital, and things took a turn for the worse, and his heart wasn't strong enough to keep fighting. It's...
Tragic.
That is a damn shame. 39.
You know, it's just crazy that what we don't know behind the scenes. It's amazing because, you know, it's kind of like when these things happen, it really does humanize the people that we look up to.
Yes.
And their performances is that because Lafayette was such a character that he didn't really last long in the books. Mm-hmm. But Nelson just gave him such a life that they carried him on through the entire series.
That's right.
Yeah. And even now, when I think about it, I don't think I could have gotten through that entire series without Lafayette. He brought something really magical to that character.
Yeah.
And,
But especially once he got into his relationship arc and his, I guess you could call it a hoodoo arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They really, they flushed that particular character out real good.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, obviously, that could have a lot to do with the fact that Eric Ball, who was one of the main creative forces behind that, he's LGBTQ community.
Okay. Good.
So, you know, and it's like that was definitely one of those shows that was friendly to that section of our world.
Well, they allowed it to actually see him as more so than just that gay character.
Yes. Right. Yes. Exactly. Not a caricature.
Yes. Yeah. He was a full-blown...
A full-blown person.
Human being.
You know.
Right? Yeah.
And ultimately, that is the goal of all of us who are, you know, in one way or another on the fringe of society.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even more so, considering who the president is these days. Mm-hmm. Saying. Real sad.
Would the character Lafayette be considered a, beef, wine, and shenanigans kind of guy, you think?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Lafayette. You have class. He didn't take no shit.
Here's the thing. After he passed away, everybody posted the one viral post I kept seeing.
was the scene. With the hamburger?
The hamburger.
The hamburger, yeah.
And I forgot how much I loved that scene.
Yeah.
And, because originally when she tells him what they said at the table, I'm like, oh, he's going over there and kick somebody's ass.
Right.
And he gives that speech. Whole speech. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful, I mean, he really gave that character. Yeah, Lafayette would have definitely been on this sofa with us discussing all kind of shit.
Yeah. Nelson,
he probably would have called me hooker like 5 times.
Yes.
And drank all the wine.
There it is.
Right. And we'd be too scared to even say shit to him.
No.
Yeah. This all you got in this motherfucker?
Right, right, right. Like, I don't know how to feel. I'm gonna get some more wine. I'll be back.
And it's funny too because you know, like when we do this, sometimes I cook, sometimes I just order a pizza.
Right.
I know that motherfucker would have been like, "You ain't cook?"
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Pizza?
Pizza. Right.
You're a grown ass man. You ain't got no way to run a kitchen.
You know?
Move out my way. Let me see what you got in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
So.
Glasses raised.
Yes.
Cheers to the brother.
Yeah, yes. Cheers.
Wow.
So, segueing slightly, Netflix. And I knew that, like, they did a Voltron reboot,
okay.
Which was really, I found, really good. That was, like, a few months ago and whatever. But a big surprise, Castlevania.
Castlevania.
Dude. Okay.
First, you guys played the game? Have you ever played the game?
Yes.
I didn't really play the game, surprisingly enough.
I didn't play the game? No, not really. Here's the thing about the game. And I remember that was one of those games that I must have broke about two or three joysticks, throwing them into the wall. Because there was always this one or two levels that there were, I remember vividly the level that I broke my first one on was fighting Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster with Igor on his shoulder. And he kept chucking shit. He had like flames or something he kept chucking at me.
Right.
And all I could hit him with was these bottles of holy water that did absolutely nothing.
Right, because it's Igor.
Because you couldn't get close enough. Because that was the thing. You had to hit Igor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's on his shoulder. So you had to do all this jump, slash. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Frankenstein's walking, the monster's walking toward you, so you can't really do much of anything. But I remember just when video games actually had the story inside the instruction booklet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was completely fascinated with this idea that there was a family that was tied to the Dracula curse.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the last of that clan. And I always thought it would make a great movie.
Right.
Okay.
I never, and I tell you, with this, I was surprised. I told Steven earlier, I was surprised that it was an animated series. I thought it was going to be a live action.
Okay.
But I'm actually happy that it turned out to be an animated series and not live action. Wow. Something tells me that would have gone south.
Really fast?
Could have been.
Kind of blood rain south?
Because I'll say the fight scenes and wow. The fight scenes and And for the sake of it being an anime feature.
Right, yeah.
Which is really kind of because it's 4 half-hour episodes. So basically what we watched.
It was pretty much an hour long.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say that it was a great decision. It was like the way it translates.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The fight scenes and everything. I was like, honestly, live action. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, Avengers and everybody else. Like, but who's to say they would have spent that kind of dough?
Yeah.
No, they
just to put Castlevania together.
Like I said, I don't think they would have.
Right.
I don't think. And the fight scenes, in order to remind me of it, I didn't get a chance to check. If you listeners want to do that kind of checking, it reminded me of sort of The Stranger.
Mm. Okay.
And in terms of towards the end of the last episode, he had the sword fight with the Dracula's son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the way the swords would sweep.
Yeah.
And you see it kind of like as a, you know, you don't see the actual sword. You see the effects of the sword sweeping through the air. And the acrobatics he'd do, the dodge, the blows and everything.
Right, right.
That was very Sword of the Stranger, which I find one of the best animated samurai.
Sure.
Productions I've seen, so I appreciated the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I'm still torn because I'm not convinced that the humans of that world deserve to be saved.
Oh, they don't. They don't.
That of Wallachia, yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. I was torn.
Maybe not because they're feeling very. They're feeling very red state to me.
Yeah. Right. No. You know. No.
Yeah.
They're feeling very Westeros.
Yeah.
Like yeah. The worst part of Westeros too. Right. Not even like the cool parts, like Dorne, mm-hmm. or even like Old Town.
Yeah.
Right? They feel like Castle Rock, the right. North. Kind of like, you're a bunch of assholes.
The thing I'm really, and I'm noticing this with a lot of fiction, mm-hmm. is that we're really delving into the dark side of how the church really was.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's a very, I say this, as being a person who's of Christian faith, mm-hmm. that's a very truthful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because it just represents men of power.
Right.
And this ideology that because you're a man, you have this particular status, mm-hmm. anyone that questions anything that you say, which
right.
demon. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so interesting how what was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. was how everybody kind of followed that
example.
Well, the church was how they do away with Dracula's wife.
Oh yeah.
Oh, to burn it. The burn
but
it, burn
then the Trevor explains. Oh, so you're going to just keep these people in fear? Yada yada yada, right. And people suddenly start to go, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then turn to him, and he's like. Oh no, you know, like, oh shit, you know, it's my hold on these people are no longer working.
Yeah.
It was
a really good example of mob mentality.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And because, how it's like, right. That's the enemy.
Right.
No, wait. That's the enemy. And everybody just kind of right. fucking follows.
But I feel
like
it's,
sheep.
It's so, it never felt like a true moment for them. Because if Trevor never brought up the fact that the Brolic priest used to beat up old men in the alleyways, mm-hmm. as his point of truth. Like, I know the truth and tell the truth. And then he talks about, yeah, you know how you like to beat up old men in alleyways. And they know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing they know.
Mm-hmm.
If he, that was like their proof of that's their validity, you know, Trevor's validity that, you know, I'm telling the truth.
Right.
If Trevor didn't have that.
Well, I always think,
I wonder if they would really be so quick to follow him if he didn't have that validity.
You know, it's interesting in stories with a religious undertone.
Mm-hmm.
It always feels like the mob or the people who suddenly realize what they're involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They already know the ills of what's going on around them.
Right.
They just don't want to admit it.
Mm.
And it always and what it is that I think it's because you have somebody from the outside mm-hmm. who hasn't lived there, who basically hits the nail on the head,
right?
You know, and you say all of these things. Oh yeah, and by the way, you also beat up people in the alley. Now, see, he knows about that,
right?
So how does he know that?
Mm-hmm.
And he just got here, you know.
Right.
Everything he must be saying is true. So all of a sudden, it's like, you know, oh wait a minute, no, you know, it's. I don't know why it popped into my head, but it reminded me of The Lion King.
Mm.
At the end when the hyenas overhear Scar
mm-hmm.
calling them like stupid poachers and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suddenly show up and he's like, oh, my friends. Oh, thank God. He goes, oh, we're your friends now. I thought we were lazy, mangy, stupid poachers.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't say that. I heard that. Did you hear that?
I
heard that. You know, and it's always fascinating when we kind of turn the table on that.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think with this, what's missing with Castlevania, because we only got four episodes, and I hear that they there's another eight coming next year.
Okay.
But
eight or four?
Eight.
Okay.
I think they would...
We got to wait till next year?
Yes.
Damn!
Yes.
God damn.
Yeah.
But the thing with when you do this is that I just kind of felt I didn't get a chance to really get to know
mm-hmm. oh.
the people or the situation right. enough. I mean, I felt vindicated.
Right.
But... things moved at such a quick pace
mm.
that
could have done a few more episodes, maybe. just to flesh out
some to of kind that of flesh earth. Things out because yeah. because I mean wait because
the Secrets pissed me off.
Oh,
nice.
The Secrets are. I'm sorry, y'all motherfuckers should have. I've been like, you know, I do feel for the convictions and the people.
Mm-hmm.
These niggas want to kill me because shit I ain't do. Fuck y'all, I'm out.
I'm still.
I'm just saying.
Well,
I still want to know when Castle Dracula started moving, like the castle
throw.
I'm like, wait, what? He was like, yeah, this shit moves too. Wow. I'm like, oh shit.
He's like an architect from Crawl. Like, Dracula commissioned the architect from Crawl because he was out of work.
Like you come, you. Yeah, I got those pots. Damn it, he left again.
So funny. A couple of things that hit me about it, along with because obviously, you know, the fact that we're even springing into a big discussion about Christianity off this kind of speaks to how good the writing was overall. But on top of that, it the whole thing actually reminded me. I don't know if you guys have saw either Vampire Hunter D.
Yes, I remember that.
Or the sequel, which came out.
Or E?
In like,
wait, what?
What? So sorry. I saw it. Vampire Hunter E. That's the sequel.
No.
I only saw D. No. I missed A, B, and C.
The one that came out like in early 2000, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed okay.
With the
with better artwork.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right.
But and it's like the whole play on it is very similar in that the protagonist is a son of Dracula.
Mm. Oh, right. I
know that. So it was interesting to see that, and I almost felt like, to me, and, you know, I enjoyed the Vampire Hunter D movies, but it also felt like this was what Vampire Hunter D wanted to be.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's more of a buddy thing. One thing I had mentioned to Mark earlier was that I found it interesting and fun and different that... everybody's a smartass.
Yeah.
Like, about 80% of the cast has jokes.
Right.
Of some sort. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not... Yeah. Usually, you know, you got a vehicle like a Jurassic Park or something like that, and it's like, there's one smartass.
Yeah. Right. And it's usually a kid.
It's usually a kid or it's Jeff Goldblum.
So this contract.
Or it's both.
Or it's both.
And it's both. You know.
But for this one, everybody was pretty much like, there was like a very fine
witty,
line.
Witty bunch of fucking...
Right. It was like a different, like, it was like a fine line between being a smartass and a dick.
Right.
Like the opening scene with the dude was talking about beating the dude over the head with a shovel because he slept with his goat.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like... And I'm like, goat love. that's like a whole different form of jealousy right there. That's...
I'm not even going near that one.
I'm just saying. I didn't know how to feel.
Even the beat down in the end.
Right.
When they kept kicking him, and he's like, could you please stop kicking me?
Yeah, exactly.
in my testicles.
They keep hitting him in the testicles.
Please leave my testicles alone.
And then there was a callback to when he hit the savior in the testicles. Right. And the savior was looking at him like, like you thought that was going to work.
This isn't a bar fight.
Yeah.
Have a little class.
Have a little class. That was actually good. That was,
it was good stuff.
No, it is.
It was good stuff.
Oh, that was very
good. Well, you know, the fact that after only four episodes, we want more.
It
screams to the fact that they did a good job.
Yes.
Right.
So, there you go. Castlevania, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already partaken.
Very much grimdark in terms of... The fantasy subgenre, if you want to go.
Yeah.
That's very, very grimdark.
Especially
that opening line with that whole situation was depressing, disgusting, and funny at the same time.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because 4 half-hour episodes now is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you know, it's like, I remember when I first binged on a season of House of Cards.
Yeah.
It's like, I needed, to take a nap.
Yeah.
I needed... you know, I felt like I was slowly unraveling mm-hmm. by episode 7. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like it's like weightlifting almost.
Yeah.
Now I can binge 13 episodes and I can still clean the house and do whatever. And it's like, and I know, and it's like, I got it. Okay, thank you. Moving on to, you know, moving on to Orange is the New Black. You know, it's like, you know, 4 half-hour episodes. I was like, what? So it's just kind of funny. It's like, you know, now the binge watch has got me where, like, I mean, shit, I'm dude. I had to. There was a point. Inception.
Oh,
I remember just trying to get through Inception made me sleepy once.
Yes.
And I had to like stop, take a nap, come back, because it's just not because it was a bad movie. It's just a lot of fucking information, and it was the middle of the night and it was making me fucking sleepy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, oh my god. And I got a cup of coffee. I came back, took another nap. It took like a good 2.5 days just to get through Inception. Now I could probably do that shit and fast forward.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of funny how, you know, you prepare yourself. You go through these changes just to absorb this entertainment.
And then they give you only like four fucking half hour
episodes.
I got to bring this up because, and this is just a horror note in general.
Mm-hmm.
Is it me or what is it with going into any vampire lair right when the sun is going down?
Son,
I don't understand.
Son,
why. I understood why she, but it always, to me, it's like
you had all day.
Every vampire thing. It's like, we need to get to him before sundown. Well, maybe you should set your clock for 5 a.m. Get your lazy ass up, go to IHOP, eat, and get your shit, and get over there.
You can't just do that when you've binge watching, you know, Orange is the New Black. And she's over, like, oh, shit, I gotta go visit Dracula's
family. I was supposed to go kill Dracula.
Let me go do this shit now. Mom gonna get mad.
I was thinking about, I don't know why it popped in my head, Salem's Lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Because at the end of Salem, he was like, we're going up to the house. And the boy was going up there, and they're judging, like, how long we have before the sun goes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why didn't you get there, like, at noon? You know, as opposed to, like, the Lost Boys, because he had a dog waiting outside his house. You know, although they didn't know that was the
devil dog.
But why? But nobody seems to think that going, I'd love to see that, like with a group of guys, all right, so we got everything.
Right.
You know what? It's 1 o'clock. Maybe we should go over there now. Nah. Sun don't go down until 9. Well, we get over there by 8, 8:30. What you think, Clyde? Work for me, man.
But I do remember the Frank Langella Dracula.
Okay.
They went middle of the day.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But... Uh-huh. But the wrench he threw at him was, I took a nap, and now y'all are in here with me in a dark room.
Oh, right. What's still dark?
What's really good?
Right.
You know?
Right.
He was like, it's
like that really? One guy. Maybe we should drag the coffin outside. You drag the coffin outside. That thing too heavy. Come on, man. Let's go in here and get this guy.
Get a flashlight or something.
I'm going to just wait here.
I was thinking, that's how you start a movie off. That's how you start an actual proper vampire movie off. You have a dude drive up in a truck to the Waffle House, right? With a pickup truck.
With the hall
and everything.
Right.
At 9 a.m. in the morning. What you want? The waffles. Let me get eggs over easy, sausage. You know, we go over. Everybody eating their waffles is nice. By 11:30, you back on the road.
Mm.
You got the steaks and everything ready? You're going to get this nigga right. Dudes go into the house at 12 o'clock noon with the hook and harness ready from the back of the truck.
Right.
Clamp that shit onto the back of the coffin.
There was vampires.
All that shit.
Vampires. James Woods.
James Woods. That's right.
Vampires. All that shit out.
Because my thing is, we could do this real easily. If he's living in a house on the hill, just burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
This way you got no structure to hide underneath.
Right.
It's like, You know he's in the basement. I know where he is. He gonna be mad as hell when he come out and see it. He ain't finished paying the mortgage on that shit yet. Fuck, burn my house down.
See?
Vampire.
Vampire.
Damn vampire hunters. I see you over there.
Like Peter Griffith. You'd get like rent a blimp and ram it into the house. And I always see this vampire coming on, like, "Stay, you don't have a job. How do you afford this thing?" Like, Joe, how can you afford these things?
A Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote.
Wile, yeah.
The Acme Vampire. Vampire Repellent.
Oh, shit.
He's buying this shit. I got no job. Oh, he's buying stuff from Acme.
You know, that's funny because
I know.
I guess now we got Amazon, so. I wonder if that motherfucker ever gonna upgrade. Like, I haven't seen him on TV.
That should be great. The Amazon.
I'm gonna tell you what always still killed me about this. The fact that he, not only did he order, but they delivered to him.
Yes.
Like, there's no address. These cats.
Middle of the desert.
My man, I can't get UPS to ring my bell when I have a delivery. They leave stuff out on my stoop. These cats drove out to the middle of the desert, found him. He signed for stuff.
He does.
He will wait by the side of the road. They roll up. Thank you. I'm like,
wow, you kind of genius.
Super genius.
That's why. Castlevania.
Yes.
So I guess we should let everybody know that we have not. At least I don't think you did. I know I haven't. I know. None of us had a chance to see Spider-Man Homecoming yet.
No one.
But we will make that up
no
to you.
No one saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
No,
the greatest movie of the summer.
No,
nobody saw Spider-Man.
Not yet.
I was hoping to go with my Bokeem mask, Halloween mask, but it didn't show up yet.
What's wrong with you?
I bought it from Acme, and they haven't showed up yet.
No, actually, I haven't seen it yet. I've heard good things.
Well, we all got tied up over 4th of July week.
Yes.
Kirk had a birthday.
Yeah, got
it. Mark had a performance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I had a wedding and a concert that I had to stage manage. So,
oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, so.
Life happened.
Yeah. So, please forgive us, everybody.
Yeah, so sorry.
We'll be back with
but
you.
But we will definitely get it together and. Hit the Spider-Man trail.
Mm-hmm.
ASAP.
Yes.
But in the meantime, in the between time, we've, some other interesting stuff happened TV-wise. Preacher came back for its second season.
Yes.
Saint of Killers.
That?
Wow.
Lots of motherfuckers.
That?
Really?
That
dude. Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Well, his backstory episode, first of all, was bananas.
But
oh, you got to break it down.
But wait, the highway.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
This cat is shooting people, and they don't even see him coming yet. They got pulled over by the cops.
Yeah.
They ran out of gas, is what they did. They tried to outrun the police.
The three main characters.
And. They're standing there in the middle of the road,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden the cops start getting picked off one by one by these bullets out of nowhere. This cat has been following them, and you don't see him, like, that whole sequence of what he does to the police,
yeah.
We don't see him till it's done, till they've gotten out of there and they have left.
Okay.
Then he shows up,
right.
Following the bullets. I'm like, damn.
Following the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Saint of Killers.
The backstory episode from last season was, I mean, it was brutal. And it's basically, he's this guy out in the frontier west, and he's got this sick daughter and this sick wife, and he goes into town to get this medicine, and he gets hung up with the folks in the town, and they, you know, and then one guy remembers him from an old Civil War battle, and it just, I mean, you want to talk about a situation that takes a hard left.
Right.
And when he finally does get home, you know, wife, kid, just, they're not just dead at this point. They're, because, you know, ravens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So he goes back to the town.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible scene of him just slaughtering an entire bar full of people. Wow. And the even crazier part about it is, you know, the episode shows you that horrible drama play out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it resets. And it does, and the whole thing happens all over again because he's in hell.
Oh, shit.
So he's reliving, hell for him is reliving this day over and over again. And then once he kills everybody in the bar, it's a reset. And he wakes up and it's daughter and wife are back. And it's the same thing over and over and over. Yeah. Heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy. So he gets unleashed
yeah.
on Tulip, Cassidy, and the Preacher. For those of you that don't watch the show, that are unfamiliar with the show, basically what it's about is these three characters. This Preacher, who has acquired something called Genesis,
yes.
which is basically sort of a voice of God
okay.
type scenario where he can pretty much compel you to do anything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So when they are stopped by the police, he's actually
compelling them
to do embarrassing shit. Sing songs, hold hands.
Like a stronger Jedi mind trick shit.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Much stronger.
Yeah. Much stronger. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And this is a DC character, if I remember correctly, right?
No, Vertigo.
Vertigo. Yeah. Vertigo, okay. and Tulip.
Tulip's his love interest.
Yeah.
Cassidy is his best friend, who also happens, just happens to be a vampire.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's very, and the way they handle that is just very matter of fact. Oh, and by the way, it's like that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And plus he's also like this junky, you know, Irish dude. So he's hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's the three of them, and they're kind of in the middle of this bizarre buddy flick feel kind of thing. But it's also very gothic, and it's also because they're off to searching for God.
Mm-hmm. No shit.
Because yeah. the preacher
that's what I wanted. Yeah.
Answers.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse the preacher. He wants answers from God.
Because they sent two angels to come and retrieve
the voice?
Genesis.
Okay.
Last season, and those two were the biggest fuck ups. that I don't know why they sent those two, but they just every turn of the screw they made some kind of mistake, and then this fool gets unleashed, and what I love about the show
mm-hmm.
is that when it's almost like, did you ever see Jake and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The part when Mark Hamill comes out, and he's like, he comes around the corner, and then the thing stops freezing. It's like, hey kids, it's Mark Hamill on the screen. So when this guy shows up, he actually, when we find out who, like, his name,
yeah,
he confronts another preacher who is doing some old Black Snake Moan crap,
mm-hmm.
where he's got some girl chained up in a cage.
Right.
In his barn, trying to like get the sins
get
out of her.
Right.
So when he says the guy, and he walks in, and all he says is preacher, and everybody's like, I don't know where the preacher is. Preacher. That's all he says. He ripped one dude's tongue out because he mm-hmm. wouldn't tell him where he was. So when the priest finally, he goes, so you know who I am, right? And then it just freezes, and his name just comes across the screen. I'm like, oh. Damn. The killer of saints. Gee. And then the preacher's like, yeah, I know who you are. And I'm like, oh, this is just not going to end well. It's an amazing... I haven't watched the other two episodes yet.
Because mm-hmm.
I fell by... I forgot that it started.
Because mm-hmm.
I've been watching Fear of the Walking Dead. Why, I don't know. That's, you know, you ever have a show do that to you where you don't, you just watch it because it's on.
Yes.
You don't watch it for any fundamental reason.
I think they were counting on that when they came up with it.
It was just like.
Right. What fair or what, right? Yeah.
It's like
right.
You switch it through the channels and it's like, oh, this is on.
Right.
You just leave it there, clean your house, you scrub the walls.
Yeah, like Family Feud.
You redecorate. Oh, you redecorate, you know. Yeah, yeah. You order pizza with anchovies and
pepperoni.
And pepperoni. And think it's salted meat. That's what happens. It's that kind of stuff. I don't even like the show.
Is it a technically salted meat or
anything? I don't know what you'd call it. But it's just one of those things where I don't like the show.
Uh-huh.
It does nothing for me.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I had it on, and then I was like, oh, shit, Preacher's starting. So I had to go back and watch. I watched the first episode late last night, and I said, well, I'm going to try and finish the rest of it this week.
Right.
And just catch up, because I've fallen behind on everything. I forgot to finish watching The Flash. You know, Black Lightning starts next season.
When are they coming out?
September, I believe.
October.
Right. September, I believe.
So, you know, now I really have to invest in that.
Right.
A family of black superheroes.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. American Gods made me forget about Walking Dead. Fear of Walking Dead.
Thank you.
Right.
That's the...
Made me forget.
For mm-hmm.
Like, I watched it after American Gods was done.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, right. And I caught this, I guess it's a mid-season finale because it was like 2 hours.
Because
I was actually waiting for, I was looking for a Preacher episode. Right. And I was like, Fear of the Walking Dead. Oh. And you know, for me, it was like awkwardly running into an ex.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Hey, Beatrice, how you doing?
Oh, shit, Amanda.
You know? It's like, you still got my VHS of Escape from New York? You know? You know, it was kind of like that. And I was like, all right, let me turn this on real quick. I had no idea what the hell was going on. I know there's like pissed off Native American dude trying to kill my man from Deadwood, and I was like, when did he get on the damn show?
Well, no, that was who. See, I'm about to get my Hispanic people mixed up. I almost said Edward James Olmos. It's not Edward James Olmos.
We still talking about
Ruben Blades.
Ruben Blades is in the Fear of Walking Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he was gone because he was supposed to be dead.
Right.
I guess.
Then he showed back up.
Right.
But that was a flashback.
No, he's back. And here's the thing. This is why I hate
Fear of Walking Dead.
No. On demand.
Oh.
Because these fuckers took yeah, you gonna have episode 301, 302, 303, 305, 306. So now I don't even see 304 because it went off.
Right.
So I'm like, so I have no clue as to where he came from again.
They skipped an episode?
Dad took it off. You know, you only have until Monday to watch the damn thing, and apparently everybody else was safe but 304. Something happened with 304.
Right.
Somebody had like a gripe with 304, or they were like, you know what? We had enough of you.
My ex-wife was born on 304.
On 304. I hate 304.
Fuck you, bitch.
And some on-demand setups, they're wonky like that.
Right.
I don't know what that's about.
They get rid of like half a season, and then you're like, well, and then advertise that you should tune in and watch it on demand. Which on demand?
Oh, right.
See.
On my laptop or the one on my actual TV where I can be comfortable and watch. So that I really don't give a shit what's going on Walking Dead. I mean, it's
fairly.
I mean it started to make sense, and I actually kind of enjoyed the idea of a Native American dude getting even with the evil white guy that killed his dad and his uncle and all this other shit.
Right, right.
I mean, so that was kind of interesting, but it was literally because I had nothing else to do. I say all that to say, trust me, next, this coming Sunday, when we got Game of Thrones coming back,
right,
and The Strain coming back.
Right. Yeah, The Strain.
AMC may not, outside of Preacher episodes, AMC may not see too much of me past that.
Ain't nothing else to watch.
Oh, man, GOT. Well, for the season. Well, for now, at least, right?
Yeah.
GOT coming up.
GOT is definitely coming back.
I just need to watch the season finale.
Of
last season for Game of Thrones, just to keep me.
Oh, okay.
To get you.
I mean, they're gonna do a full rehash.
They're probably gonna run a marathon.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna run a marathon on Saturday,
right?
I still say after that second to last episode of GOT last season, with Jon Snow is the worst fucking tactical general ever.
He let his emotions get the best of him,
dude. He did. After watching that shit, I was like, I don't want to do no sword fighting war no more. That shit was hard, listen, man. That shit was hard.
You should have known that from Lord of the Rings.
No, it was different from Lord of the Rings.
No.
Oh.
The we gotta give Frodo some time.
Right.
There's 12 of y'all. Are you gonna try and fight the army of Mordor by yourself?
Yeah,
this ain't like a bunch of dudes.
Hand's gonna get that seal down. We gotta give him more time.
If I'm a black dude, I'm looking like, hold on, I got the whitest of the white wizards.
That motherfucker didn't do anything.
I didn't know that.
The whole scene.
I didn't know that at first. I just thought, oh shit, it's a white wizard. The nigga's glowing. He's glowing, and I got the kid. Right, and I got like. Two of the shortest people who are also like just getting brawlic, so I might as well be all right. But Game of Thrones, you have a giant. You thought you was gonna be okay until you realized nobody decided to give that nigga like a club and a shield.
Give the giant a club? What person in that group had a shield that big?
It's literally so easy. I shit you not. I actually shot some YouTube video on it, and I looked at it myself. I was like, you know what? This is how easy it is. You actually have a couple of houses with you that are still intact.
Mm-hmm.
Those houses still have woodsmiths and leathersmiths and ironworkers. They still have literally like enough of a specialized group that can do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, all you need to do is have like three dudes chop down a tree. Cut the branches off and give it to that big ass motherfucker. And he has pretty much a big ass club.
You know what I've learned from fantasy films?
What?
What's that?
It's fantasy.
That?
Yeah, yeah.
And that there's a phantom timeline that everybody gives themselves for a battle. So basically, listen, we're going to kill Ramsay in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he needs a sword and a shield. That's going to take me at least 5.
No.
3. You got 3?
No.
On the second day, you better have...
No, this is the thing. You can't give him a sword and a shield. You can't give him a sword because it's going to take too long, like you said.
Because your shield ain't going to be no quicker.
Are you kidding me? You know how a shield is made?
You got to cut first of all. Like, wait a minute.
You have 3 days. And how many men do you have with you?
That's if they all know how to make that.
Dude, all you need is motherfuckers to chop the tree down. That's literally all you need is dudes to chop the tree down. Because a big ass piece of tree. Oakenshot used a big tree stump to block the and you don't need to give that nigga armor. Just give him a club.
Well,
just give the giant a big ass tree.
Against a rain of arrows. That's not really gonna do much.
It's not supposed to. You're supposed to wait till it becomes a large melee, because when you see him in that circle, right? That club would have came in handy when they were getting pushed aside, when they were getting pushed into that little circle, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But here's my thought. I'm a giant.
Right.
I see everybody else got swords and shit
and clubs,
horses and clubs. Maybe I take a minute.
Right.
Hold up, fellas. I'll be right back. And I go make my shit myself.
Yes. But, you know, he's not very bright.
How bright you gotta be?
Dude.
I ain't asking a nigga to do calculus.
You're not, but if you figured that shit out for
how bright you gotta be?
Look.
Everybody else. Look.
Every
everybody has something. Look, hey. You tell me to meet you in Times Square.
Yes.
I get there.
Right.
Your ass got a sword and a shield and a spear.
Right.
I'm going to be like, yo, what the fuck?
I should get one too.
Like, you didn't tell me what kind of party this is.
Right.
Well, like, what's good?
But you saw one got like a tumor in his head.
What the hell does that have to do with observation?
He ain't thinking
straight. The powers of observation. You walk out.
And look, something's wrong with him when he realized that he didn't have any weapons when the White Walkers came over the wall during that time when the White Walkers and shit came.
In the mines of Moria, these fuckers brought a cave troll. The cave troll just started bitch slapping everybody within 5 feet of him.
Yes. Because
that's what you do. Now, you...
But he had
you come from the other side. You came from the other side of the wall.
Yes.
You already know the kind of shit you got to fight over there. You saw a bunch of dudes in a field.
Right.
With archers in the distance.
Right.
And you like he said, let me go get...
Hold on. I'm taking notice here. Nah, he ain't no victim. One is a victim here.
You gotta use common... Look.
Victim?
He's a giant. You think he has common sense? If he had common sense, he wouldn't be with the motherfuckers. You killed my king.
Where would he be?
You killed my king.
Where the fuck would he be?
There's a whole big western area beyond that mountain range. And just keep going.
So what's he supposed to do? Walk the earth like Kane in Kung Fu?
There you go. If Kane can do it... If David Carradine, who knows shit about Kung Fu, can do it.
Walk around, help people get in adventures.
Right.
So you've decided you're going to be a bum.
Right. Without no club and no shield, he's doing the same thing.
What the fuck? You know what?
Come to think of it, there's only one other giant that actually had a weapon. There was.
Who?
And when the Wildlings attacked the wall. They had not just a mammoth, but they had a bow and arrow. So they actually, you know, they had.
I mean, he could have taken the door.
Yeah,
he could have taken the door and carried it with him.
He could have taken the door. He could have just put like a little handle on it.
Handle on it and strapped it to his back and kept the door walking.
That's what I'm saying. He got played.
He played himself.
I don't. I disagree. Because if you see somebody like, oh man, that poor giant is retarded. But you know what? I bet he can swing that arm real well. Let me make him a tree trunk. Let me get him a little club. I'm just saying. One of them might have some shit in his head.
You know what? The only way I would agree with you is if he stumbled into battle. It was like, oh, we were headed this way and we got jumped. Okay. You knew you were going to war. You knew exactly where you were going when you left. Man. So for you to get there and go, oh, hey, you got a sword? I forgot to bring one.
Like I said.
Anybody got some boots? I can use some boots, man.
One was mentally incapacitated. Like
he Hodor. Made it all the way to the dog.
Like Hodor. Hodor was going through some shit.
No. Don't talk about the Hodor.
See? What?
Don't talk about Hodor. That ain't right, man.
You don't talk about no Hodor.
Yeah, you was sick.
Hodor had problems.
Oh, okay.
Hodor had problems.
Right.
The giant made it all the way to Ramsay's house.
And Hodor made it all the way into behind the mountain.
Well, all he had to do was hold the door.
But if the giant had a shield and a spear to block some of that fucking stabbing and shit.
Or a club. Just a club. All he needed is a club.
Or a club.
That's literally all he needed was just a club.
All he needed was one of Ramsay's men. Just pick him up and slap him to five or six different people.
Yeah, after the seventh slap, you start noticing he disintegrates.
I beat a motherfucker with a motherfucker.
Wait, I saw that recently.
No, it's a meme.
I actually saw somebody do that. I can't remember what it was, a cartoon or some show. I just saw he actually was beating. I was like, oh shit, he's beating another motherfucker with a motherfucker.
Nice.
I saw that shit. It actually happened. All right. No, go ahead.
One does not take a giant into battle and not arm him.
Right.
There's evil that's...
There's some dumb shit that happened, all right? And that starts.
There's always some dumb shit happening on that show.
Oberyn.
Don't.
I know.
Yeah, that hurt. That kind of hurt a little bit.
It's still, how many years is that? Like 3 or 4 years since that we saw that? Mm-hmm. I still feel that.
Khaleesi trusting the witch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Khal Drogo getting killed like he did. Oh, we getting our feeling. All right. Moving on. Yeah, exactly. We need to watch a comedy.
Movie 43.
So, for, you know what, just for kicks, and since I know we have our Scream Radio people listening, let's talk real quick about some random shit we might have caught, because I actually had the pleasure, the distinct pleasure of sitting through Tremors 5.
Whoa.
Not too long ago.
Holy shit, there's a Tremors 5?
There's a Tremors 5, my man.
Oh my God.
There is a Tremors 5. No one from the original movie, except
Michael Gross.
Except Michael Gross.
Is this when he was in Africa?
Yes.
Oh,
wait, they go to Africa?
It's in Africa.
Tremors in Africa.
It's in Africa.
Yes.
Where you have ass blasters and graboids, ladies and gentlemen.
In Africa.
In Africa.
But people are mad about Wakanda.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please, Steve. Go ahead. You were saying.
No, I just threw that up there because, and also I know that's a favorite of friend of mine, Barbara Odenkirk, out in Seattle.
Okay.
she actually sent me a little something that had the line from the movie: "If you have ass blasters, you have graboids," and that doesn't make any fucking sense unless you've seen Tremors 5.
Well, hell, there's another Chucky.
Jesus. Oh,
there's the cult of Chucky. And wait, here's the thing. I watched the trailer.
Okay.
It literally is. It's Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors meets Chucky. It's people that are in. They're in some kind of hospital.
Okay.
For like fear or some crap like that, and of course, this doll shows up.
Uh huh.
And, I mean, kudos to the people who've reimagined Chucky and made him into a much more of a lifelike-looking doll.
Mm.
The last, I mean, I went back and watched The Curse of Chucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was...
A curse?
No, I mean, it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't bad. Right. It was just, I watched it because it looked like what they were trying to do was go back to
basics?
The basics of Chucky's... being just evil and this, that, the other thing.
Okay.
But this is like, you know, this is one of those franchises that really needs to be like taken out the pasture and get two to the back of the head.
An old yellow? An old yellow.
Bow! I mean, it's rabid. Yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean when, at what point... At what point does a franchise really need to, like...
I don't know, because you know what?
We have so many, particularly in horror.
Yeah.
These things just don't seem to stop. And it's like, after a while, you start to wonder, one, who the hell is still watching this?
Uh-huh.
That somebody's like, hey, I tried to finish off the Phantasm franchise.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like Phantasm when I was a kid.
Right.
Because it didn't make any damn sense.
No. Yeah,
it still doesn't make any damn sense after...
It's actually worse when you're an adult.
And it's like... Yeah. I got to Phantasm 4,
yeah.
Oblivion.
Uh-huh.
I got maybe 3/4 of the way back and put it back into its sleeve and sent it back to Netflix. Only to get pissed off because I forgot to take Reavers off.
Uh-huh.
So the last Phantasm movie showed up. Now I feel obligated to watch the damn thing. Even though I haven't finished watching. So basically all I'm
going to do Brenda, how you doing?
I'm going to Wikipedia Oblivion and finish reading what the movie was about.
And then just watch Reaver.
Right. And just close okay. the lid
take it
on
out
that
back
coffin.
And shoot. Just take it out back and shoot.
Damn. And no, but you know what the crazy thing is? Now I think about it. The people, it's the same people. In Phantasm from 79. These guys have been in this series since 1979.
Wait, not that I mean dead? I mean not in real life, I mean the characters.
No, but think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, your entire film career has been this one franchise. And The Young and the Restless. That's it.
The Young and the Restless.
I mean, that's it. That's like you. That's a guaranteed paycheck. You're sitting on the couch right. after mowing your lawn, and somebody comes in and is like, "Hey, they doing another Phantasm movie? Right, right. Oh shit, good. I need to pay this mortgage."
I feel like now I feel bad for him. Like you know, when you have the franchise parties, and everybody from like Star Wars and the real, like real good ones are there, like Indiana Jones, and then the dudes from Phantasm show up, and they're like, "You're like." Oh, it's those guys. shit. What's his name? I don't know. He's the bald guy.
That guy, Reggie Bannister.
Yes.
But I want to say the old guy, Reggie Bannister.
Mm-hmm. Reggie Bannister. The tall man, right?
That's the tall man is Angus Grimm.
Angus Grimm.
He passed away.
Oh. Oh
yeah. No, it's, what do they call him?
The tall man.
It's a tall man.
The tall man.
The tall man.
Not the silver ball dude, but, you know.
Right.
Should have called him Silver.
But I want to say that guy, just for, I guess for the sake of longevity, I guess. Mm. I guess he's considered an icon.
No, he is.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. Just, you know, it's the funny thing is he was the another franchise that I was afraid was gonna get the hell out of go to hell in a handbasket. Mm. Wishmaster.
Oh, wow.
And Angus Scrimm did the narration for the first Wishmaster movie.
Oh!
Which I thought was really... Right. The first one was great. Yeah, and then we just kept... There's only so many times you won't wish and things won't get ugly.
Right.
Julian Sands, is that?
No,
that's
Warlock. Oh, no. I'm thinking Warlock.
Yeah, yes.
Warlock.
And the other guy, he always plays like some criminal drug dealer from the south of the border.
Right.
Jesus. Wishmaster guy. It's true. He's like, I can't remember his name, but yeah,
he was the first victim in The Strain.
Yeah.
At the airport.
He's like yeah. Edward James almost less.
That's right. But, wow.
He has the craters and everything, but he's not as good as an actor.
The world's second most interesting.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah, Ajax greater, Ajax lesser.
Right.
Edward James almost greater, Edward James almost lesser.
Lesser, right.
So, which I found, hey, if you listeners remember his name, please put it on a website or put it on our Facebook page. Give us a heads up. Let us know.
We've just run that gambit. Freddy, Jason, Freddy. Michael, Chucky,
mm-hmm.
Leatherface.
Wow.
The tall man.
Wait, they're doing another Jeepers Creepers.
Candyman.
Well, it's about damn time.
That's actually a lag between like, Jeepers Creepers.
I don't know what they were doing with Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers. They're trying to figure out what the fuck it is. That thing. I think like the production studio was like, I still don't know what it is. And all the writers are like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, exactly.
It's like, guys, just because he doesn't come out for every other 7 years, that doesn't mean the movie.
Yeah, it should have come out every other
we have to wait
year.
7 years right, for
right,
that.
Right.
You know?
Every 23 days, it feeds.
It feeds.
And every 23 years, on the 23rd day, we get a film. We're at day 22. Can we please hurry up and give us his last damn film so the rest of us can go on about our business? Jack Sparrow's had more movies than the Creeps.
For real. That's a franchise that came out of nowhere.
That's a franchise that should have sank with the ship.
Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers is only only two, right?
Yeah. Two, only two.
Yeah.
Shit!
Wait, what's his name from those Apple commercials?
Justin Long.
Yeah.
With Justin Long.
Yeah!
And then football players that no one knows anymore.
Right.
Taylor Keish was in that, wasn't he?
I think so.
One of the football kids?
I think so.
Is it Keish or Kitch?
Kitch. Kitch, you're right, Kitch. Yes. John Carter, a.k.a.
John Carter.
A.k.a. LeBeau.
Right.
I'm not an X-Men guy. Sorry, guys.
Remy,
yes.
Remy LeBeau.
Remy LeBeau.
A.K.A. Gambit.
A.K.A. John Carter.
A.K.A. John Carter.
A.K.A. worst movie ever.
A.K.A. No, actually, the worst movie ever was Battleship, which is also a John Carter.
Oh, which is John Carter, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
He's right, though. Wait, side note. Taylor Keech?
Yeah.
He was one of the good points about second season of True Detectives.
True. Very true.
He's
one of the most... Yes, he... That's some shit you want to forget, right?
No. But the bad part about that is that's not what popped in my head.
Really?
He said Battleship, and I thought...
Riri?
No. I thought... What was that terrible movie with John Travolta? Where they were the aliens.
Battlefield Earth.
That's why I was like,
right.
Hey, that was a whole battleship.
Right. Battlefield.
Battleship was
based on the
bad.
Hasbro, on the based on the Hasbro game.
Was bad.
Wasn't Battlefield
Earth is
atrocious.
It is a turd.
It is a turd.
I could not get through that.
No, that was
and like I confessed earlier, I once spent a night watching Dead Presidents and then Sleepers right after that. So
yeah,
as painful as that was, man. And like I could get through that, I couldn't get through Battlefield Earth.
No.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
I felt bad for Forrest Whitaker. I was like, son,
man,
are you for real with this?
I discovered my threshold for pain, actually, watching Battlefield Earth. I saw the whole thing. I was like, wow, I need therapy. I need therapy.
Yeah, we need to do a whole episode of worst movies ever.
And I was about to say, like, Battleship.
And that was definitely...
Battleship felt like, you know, Independence Day 2, before Independence Day 2. It's like you realize, like, I've seen this movie before.
Oh,
it was called Battleship.
Nicely played, Kirk.
I'm just saying, it was the horrible alien invasion movies. Anyway, yes, moving on.
We're out of time. Kirk,
I wanted to ask
very important thing that you got to do for our boy Cam.
Yes, Cam. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, please. The Brooklyn Speculative Fiction Group, which is a critique group, have a podcast called Kaleidocast. Kaleidocast. They have it on Facebook as well. And they started their Kickstarter for Kaleidocast 2, which started yesterday. It's on Kickstarter. And these are, you know, they have guest writers involved with this thing. This isn't a small thing either. You got N.K. Jemisin is one of the writers.
Mm-hmm.
You got, I got to actually look this up because... Fenderson Clark is also another one of the writers, and these are people who are up on their game when it comes to literature, and we're talking about fantasy fiction and the whole shebang. So I say, when you have a chance, go to Kickstarter. Right, look up the Kaleidocast. That's Kaleidocast season 2. Check it out. Give them a look at. You can even check out some of their podcasts because they still got them up. And there's a really great group of people who headquarters out in Brooklyn. And they got some really great writers. Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. For season 2, they're looking at bringing some stories from N.K. Jemisin, Fenderson Clark, David Mercurio Rivera, this cat Zigzag Claiborne.
Mm-hmm.
They got some heavy hitters, ladies and gentlemen. So please, check them out. Check them out.
Cool.
All right?
Cool.
And
cool.
Remember, it's Brooklyn Speculative Fiction Group. They're also on Facebook if you're looking to scratch that literary itch you got for some science fiction, fantasy, horror, and the weird. All right?
Good. All right.
Oh,
and big shout out to Rob.
Rob, yes. Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the main cats pusher, one of the pushers for this, podcast also, and Brad is actually the guy who started Brooklyn Speculative Fiction, and Cameron is with him, and they're them guys you gotta look for. All right, they're them pushers.
Okay, pushers. And we're actually trying to get Cam Rob
here for maybe
to hang with us one night,
hopefully.
So we gotta figure that out,
hopefully, for the Spider-Man talk discussion. Right,
yeah let's reach out to him and work that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mark, you got any last thing on your mind there?
No, not so
true. How did your show go?
Oh, the show went well.
Let's get that out.
It was the Times Square Storytellers Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It went really well. It was about I did the 7 o'clock segment. So it was about 8 of us.
Mm-hmm.
who told different stories, and it was well put together. I enjoyed myself.
Good. What else? No, I did. Oh, well, precious metals. You don't talk about that enough. Oh, we gotta.
Yeah. You know. Okay. So second
precious metal.
Third Wednesday of every month, I host an open mic storytelling show called "Man, You've Got to Hear This." It's located at Precious Metal in Bushwick. It's 143 Troutman Avenue in Bushwick. So if you're ever looking to do a 7-minute story, I will be there this month on the 19th. That'll be next week, Wednesday. And
Precious Metal.
Yeah. It's actually a really nice spot. So come in. It starts at 7 o'clock.
August 19th.
August 19th. Okay. 7 o'clock. You come in. You put your name in the bucket. And at 7:30, when we kick off, I pull all the names. And then, you know, we just call the names at random. And it lasts from 7 until. We usually go until we pull the very last name out of the bucket. It's
actually
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been to that. I actually been to one of them. It's actually of course, it's a bar, so you get to drink, and tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, really, it's a great experience. If you're not let's say you are a storyteller, you're a writer, mm-hmm. or even if you're not, come down and I guarantee you, if you know you get the courage to get on stage and just tell a story as what you heard or something that's happened to you,
it's
liberating.
We don't really. Deal with
a judge or anything like that. No judgment.
And there's no topics. Right. So we you know,
open to everything.
It's open to everything.
Precious metal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And shit. Almost forgot.
Hey, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry. One thing that we almost forgot to put in the show. Kirk is now celebrating his second Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So look at that. So while they were stalling, I ran out here with donuts and candles. So I had to explain that because, of course, folks listening can't. Like, where the fuck was Steve?
Right.
So anyway, real quick, happy birthday.
Thank you, motherfucker. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, right, I'm going to blow these out. Hold on.
Blow your candles, eat your donuts.
Precious metal.
Damn. Yeah. That's awesome. That was very impressive.
And I smoke.
And he was literally 2 feet away from the candles. Yes. Happy birthday,
thank
sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Brandon. Glad that
thank you. Yes.
We could get that in there real quick.
I deserve a drunken night of debauchery from both of you two.
Well, that will certainly happen.
Yes.
Probably after Spider-Man. All right, I think that was everything, finally. Yeah, I think we finally got all the bases. So, hey, let's end this. So, Kirk's going to eat his birthday donuts.
I got shit to say.
Oh, all right. Well,
this was awesome. This was the best-ass donuts I ever had. This is great. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
You're fucking welcome. Anyway... I think that's a... Okay, Mark, what do you got?
No, I got nothing.
Did we break you again?
No.
Okay.
No.
Precious metal. I'm sorry.
We're getting close. So, yes. All right. So, in a couple of weeks, we'll hopefully have Cameron joining us. We'll get Spider-Man under our belts.
Yeah.
Even though we've seen more reboots of Spider-Man and we've seen... police officer get arrested for murdering a black person, but wow. Hey, you know,
hallelujah! What the hell? Oh my God!
But you know, it's a funny world we live in.
It is. No, it is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, signing off. We are
Kirk Johnson,
Mark Abbott,
and Stephen SVP Van Patten. Have a great day.
Precious metal.
Yeah.